When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Into all things NHL and then some. If it's the Boston Bruins, we talk about the ups, the downs, and everything in between. But we're not stopping there. We're also tossing in some Patriots pigskin, gaming glory, dad jokes, and all things pop culture. Because why the hell not? It's our show. Whether you're a longtime hockey lunatic like us or just looking for a good time, you're in the right place. This is the Two-Pad Stack. Now your hosts, Ace and Burge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into episode 32 of the Two-Pad Stack podcast, brought to you by our friends at DraftKings, promo code THPN, our friends at SeatGeek, promo code 2PADSTACKPOD. That's the number 2PADSTACKPOD and the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ace. Alongside me, as usual, Birch. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, good, man. Feels like winter again outside here, up here in New Hampshire today with the wind whipping around. Yeah. It just tells me I'm ready for spring.
Yeah, I ended up losing power for like 30 minutes today. Oh. I was like, here we go again. My kids got home from school like 5 minutes ago. They're like, yep, we lost power at school. I was like, wow, it's like all the way over there too. Holy smokes. Yeah. The wind is blustering around here.
Hey, at least it's not snowing. We can, you could call it a typical late winter, early spring type day. So definitely looking forward to some warmer weather and hopefully not losing power tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. That way we can watch the 2019 Cup rematch against the St. Louis Blues. So looking forward to that tilt, especially with a little bit of a run that the Boston Bruins have been on lately, playing much better hockey. And yeah, we've got a lot to talk about today. The NHL trade deadline has come and gone. Your Boston Bruins, of course, didn't sit idly by. They did decide to add to the roster. And, I have to think a lot of these places, a lot of these NHL media venues are saying that the Boston Bruins were one of the trade deadline losers. And I don't really know if I necessarily agree with that. I don't agree with that. I do believe that the Bruins fared well for the hand that they kind of played for themselves for this year. They were very restricted in regards to the amount of available cap space. The only way that they could open up space, we've talked about it before, was via a hockey trade. They ended up not going down that avenue. So they supplemented the roster with a little bit of LTIR, courtesy of Derek Forbort's body not working anymore. And, somebody that maybe this guy had claimed was going to end up in the Boston Bruins roster anyway. So, but we'll break that down in a little bit. Burge, anything from outside of the black and gold that was a big takeaway for you from this year's trade deadline?
Vegas Golden Knights, man.
Evil Empire.
Dude. They know how to manipulate the whole situation. They're like the new age Tampa Bay Lightning, we'll call that, you know, with the whole long-term IR. And it kind of stunned me, you know, with them. I think it was more of so last minute with Hurdle going to Vegas. It was kind of struck me out of left field. Like, whoa, where did that come from?
Well, there was no rumors of Tomas Hurdle even being made available.
No, and he's got term on his contract too, which is
a lot of term.
Which was something that I was like, what's going on? And I don't remember the amount, but then they did retain some salary, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was like 29% or something over the course of his entire contract, I think.
I think he's got 4 years left, too.
So I think that's 7, isn't it? Is it 4 or 7? I thought he had a full 8-year contract last year.
That's if it's 7. I couldn't believe that. Like, a team that's going to...
Yeah.
6 and 7, including this year. Yeah.
So that's Tomas wild. Hertl and the San Jose Sharks have agreed to an 8-year contract extension in 2022. So it was an 8-year deal, but it was 2 years ago. So yeah, he still has the 6 years, 7 including this one, remaining on his deal. And I believe that they retain salary on the duration of the contract, which keep in mind, guys, like an NHL franchise can retain on only 3 contracts. That's their cap. So the San Jose Sharks, who are now embracing full rebuild mode, have now completely handicapped themselves on additional cap maneuvering flexibility for the next 5-6 years for that return that they got. It was awful.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I, in my sim hockey league, was also, we had our trade deadline too. So we were talking about how we're going to handle like teams that are retaining on, you know, retaining salary for more than just this year, more than rentals, we'll call it. And I actually came out and said, this was, I think, Thursday or Wednesday, we were talking about it. How often do you see teams retain salary for more than the current season or maybe a season thereafter? Like, you don't normally see franchises retain salary for, in this case, 6-7 years. Cause like you just said, you're handicapping yourself because now you're committing one of your retention spots to that player and you're eating away at your cap space. Now the cap space thing is something that you could argue here because the cap is, you know, going up pretty significantly next year and we expect it to continue to rise. So it may not be that large of an impact in terms of the salary cap, but in terms of if you're embracing a full rebuild and you start signing players that you're going to end up shipping out for assets, you're going to want to have a retention slot available for that
guy. Being able to retain could be the difference in selling a rental for a second round pick or a first round pick.
Exactly. It's huge in the assets value. So they've now really, really handicapped themselves for the next six, seven years through 2030 at this point. It's just wild. So that was the one team that really stuck out to me. I mean, you obviously had Florida adding pretty significantly to their roster. I think the Carolina Hurricanes were another team that you were looking at. The Winnipeg Jets. I mean,
Colorado, the guys up loaded up as well.
The guys at the top of their respective divisions all loading up. You know, we're setting ourselves up for a bit of a bloodbath come April and the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I really like the traditional hockey trade that Colorado and Buffalo made. Colorado went out and acquired Casey Mittelstadt. And who do they trade? Not picks, not prospects. They trade Bo Byram from their blue line, who a lot of the Avalanche players have been very publicly, you know, transparent about. They feel like Bo Byram has a number one defenseman potential. Mm-hmm. But with the D-men that are in Colorado, you know, he's not gonna knock Cale Makar from that slot as the number one D-man there in Colorado. So once again, we talked about this before, you know, the position of luxury right now for the Boston Bruins is the goaltending position. Defense was a position of luxury. There was no legitimate path forward for Bo Byram to become a top pairing defenseman in Colorado. Now, do you keep him in a number 3, number 4, number 5 slot in Colorado, or do you move that area of luxury to address a bigger area of need for your team? And they made the decision to go out and do that, and they acquired Casey Mittelstadt, who was the top scoring forward for the Buffalo Sabres this year. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, suddenly, that Buffalo blue line looks very crowded to me, too. You've got two former first overall picks, Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin. You've got Bo Byram there. It's a pretty juicy blue line over there in Buffalo, and now the clock's ticking for those guys. It's time to start putting up results. Otherwise, a bigger shakeup's going to probably be coming up in northern New York.
Absolutely, and Buffalo's done this, I think, a little bit in the past too, with where they you see them make these one for one defenseman for forward type trades. I think it was Henri Jokerou and Alex Nylander a few years back. Obviously, that one's a little bit less, name worthy, considering where we're at. But that at the time was two first round picks being swapped back and forth. So they have a history of doing that. I like the fit, the pickup for Colorado, because I think Casey Mittelstadt's just going to take another step forward once he joins that talent that team has. I think it's going to be interesting to watch, you know, as the season goes down, and I'm sure, you know, for the future as well, they don't make that trade unless Casey Mittelstadt is going to factor in to be a piece of that team for years going forward.
Yeah, and I really liked the deal where the Avs brought in Yakov Trenin. Yakov Trenin from the Nashville Predators. Trenin is, he's basically like a better defensive Freddie. He's like a Russian Trent Frederick. He's been isolated to bottom 6 minutes over there in Nashville. He's put up fantastic suppression numbers on the defensive side of the game. And let's just say he can throw the fist around. He could probably beat up Freddie in a fight. But I'm a big sucker for that side of the game. I still love the fights. I love what Matt Rempe is doing over in New York right now.
I'm here for that. Yeah, I love what he's doing.
Oh, my God. It's so good. But, yeah, I really like the Colorado did. They loaded up for the postseason, brought in some role players, really gritty, in-your-face style players. And I'm really excited to see what happens on the deadline. Let's pivot back to
real quick before we move off of this with regards to the Hurdle deal. It also had implications for the Calgary trade, because remember the condition in that trade with the first round pick was that if Vegas moves their first round pick out, Calgary then has to wait until 2026 to get theirs, which the Vegas Golden Knights did when they traded it to Hurdle. So now Vegas Golden Knights 2026 first round pick is going to Calgary for Noah Hanifin. Like, it's just incredible. I mean, that team is an absolute wagon. We'll see if it actually translates from paper to the ice for a deep run. But I mean, they're poised for another repeat. They're poised.
We've talked about this, man. Like, we've broken it down and said, you know, you like what they do. You think that they're probably the model franchise in the NHL. You know, I had some apprehension towards that. I don't like their way of building a roster, you know, but obviously you can't argue with results. They're the reigning cup winners, but I don't think culture-wise, the way that they treat players as assets and not people is going to be sustainable to long-term success, you know. But then you've got Noah Hanifin going out there, choosing to re-sign there for long-term and basically throwing pie right in my face. So who the hell knows? I really thought I gotta poo-poo Vancouver as well. Big poo-poo for you, Vancouver. The fact that you had Phil Kessel out in Abbotsford for like a month, like working out for you, being ready, and you had to sign him by the deadline to get him on the roster, and you just kept him there and you never signed him. That's kind of fucked up.
Oh yeah. Cause like, what if he wanted to go somewhere else? Like, he was clearly committed to trying to get in with Vancouver there, and then they just don't offer him not even a two-way deal to let him play in the minors, for crying out loud, if he wanted to do that. Like, that wasn't even discussed around the table. So, like, yeah, I totally agree with you. Messed up.
Yeah, I mean, you even had well-connected insiders that were coming out the day before. Oh, all sources indicate that everything is lined up for Phil Kessel to land a contract with the Vancouver Canucks. And then at, like, 3:05, somebody tweets out, oh, yeah, by the way, they didn't sign him. Like, I want to know, did Vancouver have so many balls up in the air that they were, like, juggling that they just decided we couldn't do it anymore? Were they expecting to fill that roster position with somebody else? Or was this just front office ineptitude by Jim Rutherford? I don't even know.
I want to lean towards your ladder there with the ineptitude, because their team that's sitting atop their division, they did nothing. They obviously went out and they got Elias Lindholm, but you heard in the weeks leading up to the trade deadline that they weren't really happy with the fit.
No.
So you were talking about a three-way trade involving the Bruins, you know, to get Lindholm out, bring in Jake Guentzel. They didn't do that, but they were quiet, and you figured maybe Phil Kessel was their guy they were going to acquire, and they didn't even sign him. So it's kind of like, what are you doing?
Well, it's really interesting that three-way trade that you're talking about is that there was a lot of smoke around that. I know that Emily Kaplan was in on it. She was reporting that she'd heard about that. Kevin Weeks was coming out and talking about that he had heard the same thing. Then we got our friend over at OB, Brett, who was saying, oh, his sources told him that was also a thing that was going on. You know, it's really interesting, but Elliot Friedman came out and said in today's 32 Thoughts that he heard that was never really serious. It was like a thing that the Canucks maybe sent a message over to Don Sweeney in the Bruins front office and said, hey, if we can pull off this Guentzel deal, would you be interested in Lindholm? And Don Sweeney in the front office were like, well, yeah, we would love to have him here. We were interested in him when he was a Flame, but it just didn't work out. I don't think that the Vancouver Canucks were truly ever close to landing Guentzel. Otherwise, I really think that they probably easily could have beat that package that the Carolina Hurricanes sent over. It wasn't really a compelling package. Like it was, did they even get a first? Did they get a first for Gensel?
I'm trying to look it up right here. They got a bunch of players. No, they didn't. They did. It was a conditional first round pick. I don't know. They have to reach the finals to get it, though. They have to reach the Stanley Cup finals to get it. So it's kind of one of those tough ones to attain. But they got Michael Bunting and a few other bodies and conditional draft picks for 25% retained. So,
yeah, so that's an interesting deal. I think Vancouver probably wanted to go more the draft pick route than the prospect route, which I know Kyle Dubas is trying to not go full rebuild, because when you have a roster with Chris Letang, Sidney Crosby, and Evgeny Malkin, a rebuild is not really something that they want to be hearing when they're in that locker room. But I also think with the current state of the Penguins roster, a dose of reality is needed, and they need to realize that the oldest team in the NHL, I'm pretty sure they're the oldest team in the NHL.
They got to be up there.
You're not going to be on a fast track back to contention, and you guys all probably need to have a dose of reality. And
Sidney Crosby was not happy. I don't know if you saw his little post game nugget on that Getzel being shipped out. You could tell he was not happy about that. I wonder if you're going to start seeing ships fall where he's going to end up getting shipped out, or Malkin, or these older guys are going to get traded out. I mean, it's going to be hard for me to see that either one of them would accept a trade out. But didn't they acquire Erik Karlsson at the beginning of this year too?
Like, yeah, this offseason. Yeah, he went out and acquired Karlsson.
What are you doing? Like, you kind of get your chips half in right now. Like, that's like the worst place to be caught. You know, you don't want to be caught in the middle and making moves on both ways, because you're going to get nowhere. So yeah, Pittsburgh's definitely an interesting team to watch this offseason, because it's got to be kind of make it or break it for, you know, that aging core.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit more about that three-way trade, just because the Bruins were involved, and the name that was going out from the Boston Bruins in that projected deal was none other than Jake DeBrusk. And we had talked about Jake DeBrusk and Matt Grizzlick being probably the two biggest trade chips for the Bruins to facilitate a hockey trade. I think that three-way trade would have basically been exactly what we were kind of alluding to, you know, player in, player out scenario. Now, obviously there would be a third party involved to facilitate the move, but really interesting. But hey, it didn't happen. Jake DeBrusk is still a Boston Bruin. And you know who else is still a Boston Bruin?
Who?
After many reports that a trade was agreed upon by the Boston Bruins and the Los Angeles Kings that would send goaltender Linus Ullmark to the Kings, Linus Ullmark leveraged his contractual right with his no trade clause to nix the deal to the Los Angeles Kings. That has been confirmed by all sorts of parties at this point. You have Don Sweeney in the post trade deadline conference saying he won't comment on speculation. He had conversations about positions of strength in players that are currently on the roster, and obviously those didn't come to fruition, and he's still happy with the players that are on their roster. You know how he is, man. He's cryptic. Oh, yeah. He won't ever give anything. And the Bruins notoriously are quiet on what they share. You know, generally speaking, if you're hearing Bruins rumors, it's coming out from the other party that's involved. So, but Linus Ullmark cited geographic reasons. He cited family reasons as the two reasons why he would not approve a trade that would send him out to the Los Angeles Kings. Now, there's no reported return yet. There's nobody that has come out and definitively said this is what LA was prepared to part with. So it's very intriguing to me that we have this sort of discourse. And the only logical next step, Birch, is you got to move him at the offseason now. You got to move on.
Absolutely. And, you know, good for him for executing his contractual right. I don't think anybody will ever say anything bad about somebody doing that. I think if we all felt the same way, or in the same shoes, you know, we're doing the same thing. It's our right. We signed the contract. That's what it is. And I remember back when Linus Ullmark was signed to his contract back, 3 years ago now, that the movement clause was going to come into play for them, for them. If he was going to be the guy they thought he was going to be, and this was still when Tuukka Rask was still in the picture a little bit. So obviously my takes there were a little bit more biased as terms in terms as to why you giving this guy $5 million and no and movement protection when you have a guy rehabbing from his injury. Obviously that didn't work out. So it looked like they made the right choice, but now you're getting to the point now where you're going to, there's a real possibility that if I think his teams go down to 15 next year, or does it go up to 16? It's one or the other, but it's more or less half the league that he can completely deny a trade to. And if he's strategic with how he picks his 15 teams, if I'm Linus Ullmark and I want to stay in Boston for to play out my contract, I'm picking 15 teams with established goaltenders. And I don't even care. Like they're not going to, or I'm going to leave those teams off my list. I'm going to protect the teams that need a goalie if I want to stay here.
And I'm going to leave the teams that Boston is directly competing with on my list.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to leave Tampa Bay, Toronto,
New York, like all these teams that do have established goaltenders that are not going to make a move. And if they do, they're kind of dumb to do it for it'll be then a 30 plus year old goalie. Like that's what I'm doing if I'm him. And he's basically giving the middle finger to the organization. Like, I think it's clear that he's very happy here. Obviously, you know, the bromance that he has with the goaltender, we're not going to get any further into that, but he's happy here. And I'm, from a fan standpoint of the team, I'm a little disappointed because the team clearly has an idea of where they want to do with him. I think they made, you know, all these reports and the confirmations are saying they want to move him out. They want to get assets for him in return. I want the same thing. I don't want to be paying two goalies $13 million next year.
It would be the three-headed monster. Yeah. Brandon Bussey would be coming up because the Bruins don't want to lose him for nothing via waivers.
And that's huge because now you're talking about an extra roster spot that you gotta hold for a third goalie who's not gonna play. And then you're paying $13 million to a position where one of the guys is sitting on the bench every game. So like it's not good cap management to do that. So I'm nervous now because he's nixed the trade. Especially to a place like LA, Southern California. Who wouldn't want to go to Southern California and play hockey? Like, well, nice warm weather.
All reports indicate that LA is pissed that this didn't come through.
Oh, I'm sure. I would be too. And it's disappointing. But I will say this. If the return for Linus Ullmark was Pierre-Luc Dubois, thank you, Linus. Thank you. Because didn't want to get to have that saddled on our team. Everything you hear about the guy is not good. So, like, that. And if that's the case, thank you. But otherwise, like, I'm a little worried that he's going to put his foot down and not want to leave the organization when Jeremy Swayman is clearly ascending at this point. I don't want him not playing because they have to honor the $5 million they're paying Linus Ullmark next year. Like, I don't want him to have to sit because of financial obligations.
I'd much rather sign a second-line center for $5 million
than
Linus Ullmark at $5
million. And
as long as Jeremy Swayman, like you said, can continue on this trajectory and he can handle these additional starts, because I don't want to throw Brandon Bussey right into a 1B role.
Oh,
I want him to start off as a backup. You give him his taste of the NHL, see how he performs. Like, we've already been saying that Michael DiPietro on previous episodes have been the better goalie in Providence this year. Lately, Brandon Bussey has stepped his game up as well. So the Providence Bruins have two outstanding AHL caliber goaltenders that are looking for their chance, their opportunity to make their name in the NHL. The big reason why DiPietro is even in the Boston system right now is because he was stuck behind Thatcher Demko in Vancouver. And they took a gamble on Jack Studnicka last year and traded DiPietro, I think, one for one for Studnicka, which was kind of an interesting deal. The Bruins have a goalie logjam, and it, even when they trade Linus Ullmark, which everyone expects will happen in this upcoming offseason, that doesn't address it either, because, you know, there's going to be a situation there with Bussey needing starts, and, you know, you can't give that same tandem split that they've been doing.
Absolutely. And I was getting into it a little bit with Tommy and Brett on Twitter regarding this after this all went down on the trade deadline. And they were basically pointing to me, asking me, like, who are you going to sign to fill this if Brandon Bussey and Mike DiPietro aren't ready to make that jump? Who are you going to have the backup? Who's going to eat those minutes? I'm like, I literally don't care who it is. Find a guy that you can plug in there and get 30 starts out of him in the season, and you're golden. Like, the Bruins have been fantastic over the last decade and a half in finding those types of guys. like Chad Johnson, Nicholas Svedberg, Anton Hudobin twice, and Jaroslav Halak. Like all those veteran guys came in and held down the fort with Tuukka Rask. And they were still like Chad, one of Chad Johnson's best years of his career was backing up Tuukka Rask when he was here. He was unbelievable. They were great. And the Bruins will always find a way to find a body to put in there, whether it's Brandon Bussey or Michael DiPietro, or whether it's some random veteran off the street. Again, I don't care who it is, because you're not asking him to go out there and be a number one goalie. You're asking him to go out there and eat minutes and save the back-to-backs from your starter and go out there and be effective. You don't need elite level performance from your backup goalie. I'd much rather have that money used on the forward end from a team that's going to need it, you know, in the future.
Yeah. And I do think, you know, going back to the Linus Ullmark trade discussion, Elliot Friedman was very clear that this is not something that the book is closed on. This is something that will continue in the offseason. And me personally, I'm speculating based on all the New Jersey smoke with Jacob Markstrom. Do the Devils really want a goaltender that's as old as Jacob Markstrom? Or do they want to pivot to the reigning Vezina Trophy winner from last year?
And, you know, they acquired Jake Allen at the deadline, but like he's not a long term fix. Like he's a pick for this year. He's a stopgap for this year. Exactly.
Yep. So, I mean, the GM of the Devils, Tom Fitzgerald, already had said in the post deadline press conference that he's going to be very aggressive this offseason in regards to goaltending. And I can see Linus Ullmark, who I believe his no trade clause continues until next year with the 16 or 15 teams.
It goes from 16 to 15 next year. Yeah. Or okay. 15 to 16 next year. It's one or the other way. It's one or the other.
So he still has that no trade clause, but I can imagine him being much more receptive to a team on the East Coast due to its proximity to Sweden. Linus doesn't stay here in the summer. He goes home to Sweden, and it's a lot easier to fly from New Jersey or Boston to Sweden than what it is from LA to Sweden. So I think that a deal to the New Jersey Devils would make a lot of sense. I believe that starts with Dawson Mercer coming the other way, and probably a pick, probably not a first if you're getting Mercer, maybe like a second, but that allows the Bruins to get an NHL caliber forward who's young. They get a piece of draft capital, and they open up that cap space to be even more aggressive at free agency, which will be fascinating to watch this summer.
Absolutely. And I bet a trade to New Jersey like that comes stapled with an extension for Linus Ullmark too. So like probably that's something you got to think about too for him, like more security past next year, because if he's here in Boston next year, he's not getting brought back here.
Why wouldn't he? Like that New Jersey team is on the precipice of something great. They have an amazing young core, Jack Hughes, Luke Hughes. They have Simon Nemec on the blue line. A ton of really high-end blue chip players. Our good friend Dougie Hamilton, who doesn't know how to play defense well, but he can definitely rack up the points.
They
are ready to go. They just need a goaltender. They need somebody that can stop a beach ball. Nobody that seems to play in between the pipes over there can do that. And once again, we're goalies. We're not going to put all the responsibility on the Devils goaltending for their woes. Their young defensemen need to learn how to play defense in the NHL, and that's going to happen with time. But having a veteran goaltender like Linus Ullmark is going to be exponentially better than anything that they have. You compare Linus Ullmark to Nico Daws, it's not even fucking close.
Or Vitek Vanacek, who they traded out. Like, it's not even close.
Yep. So let's break down what the Boston Bruins did do instead of didn't do at the trade deadline. I already kind of hinted at it before. I was calling for a little more truculence, a little more weight, a little bit more sandpaper in the bottom six since the departure of Milan Lucic for reasons we will not discuss. And I thought I knew somebody that would be a great fit for that, and I've called for it many times. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn too hard here, but toot toot, Fat Pat is a Boston Bruin. I fucking called that, and I want all of you that are listening to give me credit for calling that.
You are all over that. And, you know, you see some of the reactions of some people on Twitter about it. I mean, he was free. He's a veteran presence. I know he's coming off back surgery, so he's on long-term IR right now. So it's going to be a bit before you actually see him in a Bruins uniform. But how is there anything to be upset about with this move? If, when I saw it come through, I was just kind of like, cool. Like, in very indifferent. Like, doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Doesn't wow me. But how am I going to be upset about another veteran physical player coming in here? Like,
it's nothing, exactly no what I expected for the Boston Bruins to do, is to go out and grab a depth forward and a depth defenseman, maybe a center if they could do a hockey trade. They couldn't do the hockey trade, but they did the depth defenseman and the depth forward. We'll talk about the defenseman in a little bit, but Pat Maroon was the bane of Bruins fans' existence in the playoff series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Really pissed me off when he was playing for the St. Louis Blues in 19 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy has become very well versed with pissing off Boston Bruins fans and Brad Marchand in particular. So it'll be super intriguing to see him on the other side of things. And he basically summarized that too. He arrived at TD Garden yesterday, and he was doing some pregame, pregame coverage in an interview. And he was like, well, I kind of feel like I'm hated here. And I'm like, well, judged upon all of the tweets that I'm seeing about the acquisition, that's not an incorrect assessment, Pat, but just know here at the Two Pat Stack, we welcome you with open arms. Now please go beat the shit out of all the Toronto Maple Leafs and all the Lightning players. So I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. I'm still waiting to see the Jack Edwards retirement notice thrown out.
Well, did you hear? So I think it was Matty Ports, whatever his name is. Yeah. I forget his name. Matt Porter. Yeah. There we go. He sent a text to Jack Edwards right when the trade broke. And Jack Edwards was like, well, good thing is that Pat Maroon never has to worry about losing a fight now that he's wearing the correct jersey.
That's such a basically
straight up it just acknowledging the fact that it doesn't matter if a Bruin's in a fight, even if he gets fed, the Bruin's going to win the fight the way that Jack calls it.
That's such a Jack response. Oh, man. But yeah, if you're out there hating on this trade and you're listening to us right now, if you're out here hating on this trade, please learn. Please educate yourself on what this type of player brings to the table for a younger team going into the playoffs. It's having this type of guy with experience and grit and physicality goes such a long way, no matter who it is. Like, it could have been anybody. This guy was cheap and available, which is why Pat Maroon is here. But having a guy like this on the roster going into the playoffs, you're going to see it. It's going to come out. It's going to come out. You'll see it. You'll be happy for it when the time comes.
Oh, it's only a matter of time till we get the flex on somebody. And it's going to be amazing. So we'd be remiss if we didn't continue to talk about the Patrick Maroon deal and didn't address what was going the other way. So like Birch says, the price was not steep. This is a very reasonable trade. Pat Maroon came out and said that GM Billy Guerin over at the Minnesota Wild did him a solid. Bill Guerin was like, hey, you know, things aren't going great here. What do you want to do, Pat? Do you want to go chase a cup? And Pat Maroon's like, well, yeah. Like, that's the whole point of playing in the NHL. Like, I do want to chase a cup. And Billy Guerin found him a spot. So conditional sixth round pick in 2026 goes to the Minnesota Wild. That condition will be met if Pat Maroon plays one singular playoff game, which I am going to put the odds as like 99% is going to happen, because that's why you're bringing him in. I mean, you've got Don Sweeney talking about him recovering from his current procedure, and he's like, everyone knows when Pat Maroon plays his best hockey the postseason. So so that condition's going to be met unless he just doesn't recover from the back surgery, which he got it done at the beginning of February, and he was given a 4 to 6 week turnaround time for recovery. So he's right around where he can probably start returning. He has been back on the ice, so I would expect him to meet that condition. And then additionally, the other interesting part of this deal is that Bruins forward prospect, who was a unrestricted free agent signing, Luke Toporowski, got his NHL deal out of a AHL-only deal after playing decently well at a few Bruins development camps. He looked really good in the rookie games when he was playing alongside Fabian Lysell. Has a nice rocket of a one-timer. Unfortunately, it just seems like as soon as he signed that NHL deal, that drive to do whatever it takes to make it kind of dried up a little mm-hmm. bit. He got that deal and he's like, oh, I can breathe. I got what I needed to like pay my bills and be an actual professional hockey player. And unfortunately, it just seemed like with the current core of forwards, with Lysell, with Merkulov, all these guys down there, it just wasn't going to work out. So the cool thing about this deal from Luke Toporowski's perspective is that he is from Illinois, I believe. Iowa, sorry. Mm-hmm. Is it Iowa?
I believe Anyways, so, yeah.
I think it's one of those, it's an I state. I'm very not super geographically inclined. But the Wild's AHL team is in, is it Iowa?
It's Iowa,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So the Wild's AHL team is based in Iowa. And Toporowski is going to be the first kid from Iowa to play for the team.
That's really Iowa, cool.
Which is really cool. So he gets a chance to go home. Hopefully that rekindles his drive and his passion for the game. And we can go back to seeing him on the ice. Unfortunately, different colors, but doing some more of those knee drop one-timers at the AHL mm-hmm. level. So good luck to you, Luke Toporowski. Good luck to you, conditional sixth round pick, and welcome Fat Pat. On that note, somebody's probably going to tell me to stop calling him Fat Pat if they listen to this. I apologize if I offended you, but well, let's go ahead and send you over to our sponsor for today, DraftKings. And right after that, we've got a special hat trick with Patrick for you. So we'll be back.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Hockey League, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You could get the Boston Bruins against the St. Louis Blues at plus 110. Or alternatively, you could get the Blues at minus 130. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 in the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to Pat Stack fans. And welcome back to the Two Pat Stack Hat Trick with Patrick. I am Patrick. Let's go. We sit at 11-19 on the season after a 1-2 performance last week. And it felt good to get one on the board after back-to-back 0-3s. That is something that I don't want to do again. So we are coming back to try and make some money. Here we have for Tuesday, March 12th, 2024, the three picks. As always, odds come from DraftKings. Gamble responsibly, but use DraftKings when you do. That being said, let's go. The first pick will be the New York Rangers money line. They are coming off of a back-to-back, and they are in Carolina, who made some moves, but I'm taking Rangers money line plus 130. Next is going to be a tough one. It's going to be one I'm going to pay attention to closely. It is the Panthers, the Florida Panthers, and the Dallas Stars over 6 goals at minus 110. The Stars are the best team in the NHL when it comes to covering the over, and the Panthers are at the bottom when it comes to the over hitting. So it is going to be David versus Goliath in that aspect. And last but not least, I have the Montreal Canadiens -1.5 taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's plus 190 on the puck line. Thank you so much for listening, and let's make some money here on the Two Pad Stack Hat Trick with Patrick. I am Patrick. Happy St. Paddy's Day.
All right, so we're back. Let's go ahead and continue breaking down that deadline activity for the Boston Bruins. I mentioned to you we added the depth forward. We broke down the Pat Maroon deal. They also acquired a defenseman, and it wasn't somebody that was really on my list or really anybody's list, I don't think, for the Boston Bruins. So the Boston Bruins acquire from the Columbus Blue Jackets defenseman Andrew Peak in exchange for Jacob Zboril and a third-round pick in 2027. What's your initial takeaway from that deal?
I don't like giving up more mid-round picks. I know it's 3 years down the road, but giving up a third-round pick for a guy that, from what, everything that I was reading going into this trade, because again, like you said, it kind of caught us off guard, his name. But the guy was supposedly trending towards a buyout at the end of this season with Columbus. And I get they needed, I guess... Big thing that kind of plays into this for me is Derek Forbert's injury, because I think that we were all led to believe that that was really not going to be anything major. And all of a sudden, Jim Montgomery's coming out saying that he's going to be back. He's day to day. And all of a sudden he's having surgery and he's out for the year. So like that to me was interesting. But that said, when a guy is you hear that he's trending towards a buyout, you're like, why am I giving up a third round pick for this guy? I don't care what year it is. Not to mention Jacob Zboril going the other way too. I think Zboril was done here at this point anyways.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So like to me, he's going as a throw in. It's the third round pick. I mean, obviously, again, I get that it's 3 years down the road and like you'll have, who knows where the team's going to be in 3 years. That probably could be worthless. Andrew Peak could turn into being an absolute stud for this team.
Well, I don't want to be like a pink hat, like super optimistic person, but you've got Elliot. I keep citing Friedman. I listened to his pod this morning. He's really good. Listen, I highly recommend anybody that likes sports, specifically hockey, to tune in and check out that podcast. You get a lot of insights. But he was talking about how various NHL scouts, not just affiliated with the Bruins, said there's more to Andrew Peak's game, and they think that he was probably not handled correctly in the Columbus system, which, color me shocked, the franchise that's gone through like three head coaches in the last 2 years hasn't handled a player appropriately. Boston Bruins pro scouting obviously identified something as something that they can work with there and something that can be unlocked if it's in the right setting. Maybe it's a system thing. Maybe his style of play works better in the Boston Bruins defensive scheme. But they decided to acquire him, which is super interesting because it's not a rental. He's not a restricted free agent after this season. Yeah, I think he has, what, two more seasons under contract?
He's in the first year of a three-year deal. Yeah,
two more years. Yeah, so two more years after this, and his cap hit is $2.75 million. And the Blue Jackets didn't have to retain a dime. Nothing. So 25-year-old D-man prides himself on physicality, being responsible defensively. That sounds a lot like what the Boston Bruins need for that PK and on the third pair, especially with Derek Forbort going the way of LTIR land.
This is only his third season, full season in the NHL too. He's only played 23 games this year. I'm not even sure if there was an injury there early in the season, or if there were times where he was actually scratched.
He was healthy scratched a lot this year,
which I find that strange for a guy that was making that much money. And like I said at the beginning, like trending towards a buyout. So I hear that, and I see we're giving up a third round pick, albeit 3 years out, for a guy that was going to be, we could have signed in the offseason for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna pause a little bit there, but like I do agree to your point that maybe there is something that could be unlocked there. The system is probably a huge thing. A team that kind of has their shit together, with, you know, the Bruins have their, you know, their ducks in a row when it comes to playing defense and in that capacity. He's only 25 years old. The cap's going up. If he turns out to be something, you're only paying him $2.7 million a year. That's a good place to be, especially if he can maybe reach that middle pairing slot for the Bruins, you know, in the years to come. I think a lot, like I said, a lot of it plays into the Forbort injury. I know we have our opinions on Derek Forbort, but his salary basically is saying bye-bye for the year because he's hurt and having surgery. Well, this guy fits right in. Let's see what happens. I think we can agree that these two moves that the Bruins made kind of fit into what we were looking for them to do for the most part, not selling the future, not making a gigantic splash. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys all kind of fit into the lineup, you know, once Pat Maroon's healthy and once Peak cracks the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Peak is playing tonight against the Blues. I think he's still getting a few practices in to understand the system. They play a different system over there in Columbus. But Jim Montgomery had come out and said that we want to get him in game style or in games here in short term. So it wouldn't surprise me if they get him in on the next game after the Blues game. Another bit of Bruins news that came through, couple of signings, one that I'm not even going to bother to talk about. Maybe one day it'll be worth talking about, but the other one is the defenseman you just referenced, Parker Weatherspoon, ends up signing a 1-year extension. And I think, you know, based on what he's done so far this year, I think I had already previously on a pod made fun of this guy. I take back everything, man. Like, he has been reliable. He has been playing two ways. He's been willing to stand up for his teammates. Like, he's everything you want in a bottom four defenseman. And he just extended for less than a mil for one more year. Like, absolutely. I'm all about that. Yeah. So, perfect deal. Well done by Don Sweeney to identify a guy that was in the system, that was doing well at the Providence level, give him a test at the NHL level, and he obviously flourished, and he was able to, you know, pull that into a new contract. So really happy with that extension.
Me too. The kid has definitely earned himself a spot to at least be here another year. So definitely agree with that 100%. Excited to see what he can do going forward. I think he's going to be a big piece for them defensively come the end of the season here. So we'll see if he can continue to ascend in terms of his development.
Absolutely. Let's just quickly, before this is going to be a shorter episode here today, guys, I have to bring my kid to hockey. We're going to quickly just summarize the week that was. Boston Bruins played against the Leafs again, and getting a little bit of deja vu, another 4-1 win against the Leafs, and they looked damn good doing it. What was your takeaways for the Leafs game?
Same old story for the Toronto Maple Leafs, huh? No goaltending, no defense. And yeah, the Bruins just continued to have their way. And yeah, it was a great performance to see what they were able to do at coming off their slide that they had.
Yeah, and I also noticed the Leafs are trying to goon it up a bit, which is really funny to me.
Yeah.
You got Paul Bissonnette afterwards, who's basically become the Leafs' biggest cheerleader. I think it's just an ongoing gag at this point, but he's like, oh yeah, we're going to beat up the Bruins. You know, Boston Bruins they're not ready for this. And it's just like, you do realize the last seven times these two teams have played, it has not ended favorably for the Leafs, right? Like, there's your seven game series right there.
Decent swept. They swept them this year. It's like the Leafs will always be a second class organization to Boston until they find a way to build a team the proper way. And they continue to make the stupid mistakes of signing their star forwards to, you know, massive contracts while completely neglecting their net and their defense. So by all means, Toronto, keep it up. Keep it up.
But surely trading for washed up bottom pair defensemen that can't handle the puck, that'll really address what their defensive woes are, because they're just going to keep getting old school defensive defensemen, and then the Bruins will just walk around their defensemen like the Pines. So,
because they don't got a goalie that can make the save, so
they sure don't. They sure don't. So moving on from the Leafs shellacking, Bruins followed up with a game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and that was a pretty nice game as well. Boston Bruins ended up winning 5-1 against the Pens. And it was actually a game that was occurring both in Boston and in the big city with the big city Greens. So I don't know if you had kids. We obviously, Burge and I have kids. We really enjoyed what that was able to do. Being able to in real time show what was going on at TD Garden in the world of Disney Channel's big city Greens. Really great way to introduce hockey to kids that maybe otherwise wouldn't be interested. And I tuned in for a little bit there. I watched the segments where, you know, Kevin Weeks would break down what was going on and why the rules are the way they are and how it happens. And, you know, even for somebody, I've been around hockey all my life, it was still entertaining for me. And I think that was really compelling entertainment. And I love the fact that the NHL is investing in this to try to bring new fans into the sport.
Absolutely. I think it's great. Like, if I was home for this with my kid, I would have watched it with him and he would have loved it. I saw some clips of it. It lines up pretty good with the actual gameplay, which I think is unbelievable with the technology that they have to do this kind of stuff. And I look forward to catching it when they do it again and let my kid watch it, because I think he would be dying laughing watching. You know, you see the goal with the net flying around when they score.
Yeah. The refs are like pigeons. They drop the puck via pigeon. Kind of funny. I heard that if there was a fight, it would obviously not show the fight, but it would just be like a cartoon, like dust up. You just see the cloud of dust and like an arm stick out of the dust and a leg and a stick and stuff.
That'd
which
be cool
is also a really cool take. But another fun fact about it, we're going to wrap up here soon, but another fun fact, did you know, I think you probably saw this, but Brad Marchand voices a character on the show Big City Greens.
Yeah.
So this isn't his first foray into the universe of Big City Greens.
Yeah, that's awesome. I look forward to the next one for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Burge, just to give a little tease for next episode, you ended up going to a hockey game. We're not going to have time to break it down on this episode, but you know, why don't you give a little teaser for next episode?
Yeah, well, I'll look forward to talking to you guys about it next week. I took my son to the New Hampshire Police versus Fire hockey game to benefit the Children's Hospital up in Manchester, New Hampshire. It was a great time. And yeah, I look forward to talking about it with you. Basically, long story short, great event for family. So keep your eye out for that and look forward to explaining how it went.
Love it. Love it. All right, guys. Thank you again for tuning in to episode 32 of the Two Pad Stack. Sorry for cutting it short. My daughter needs to get to her first team practice. And I appreciate all of you. Burge, I appreciate your time, buddy.
Hell yeah.
Tell the wife I do owe her still that bottle of red wine.
Yeah, I will. I certainly will. She reminds me about it every day.
Yeah, she sent me a message. She's like, I like this particular type of wine. I was like, I'll be sure to tell your husband.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. We will catch you next week.
Peace.
You've been listening to the Two Pad Stack. Our passion is hockey. From Beer League to the Bruins, we friggin' love it. We love the Patriots, too. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We know we had a blast. Make sure to like, rate, review, and subscribe. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Twitter and TikTok at @2PadStackPod. And find the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by searching 2PadStack. See you next time on the 2PadStack.
This concludes our broadcast day. Click.